Hey everybody and welcome. It's James Senior here, Windows 8 App Guy, and we are live from the Facebook Windows 8 Hackathon. Hack.
Oh, that was crowds cheering. Oh,
yeah, that was in the background, above the waterfall noise.
Yeah.
We're here hacking on Windows 8, along with the Facebook social graph as well, and making some cool apps. I'm joined by Adam and Aaron from Ratio Interactive out of Seattle. Guys, you just want to quickly introduce yourself and what you do at Ratio?
Sure. Adam Argyle, front-end developer. Middle tier. I pretty much go from everything to the front to the back. But mostly a front-end guru. I kind of make this guy's dreams come true. So he comes up with the sexy hotness, and I execute and make sure that the front end reflects his sexy hotness.
Does the sexy hotness, and this is your opinion, does it always make it through into the front end?
That's a good question.
There's definitely some challenges that arise from working with the components. You have this vision and you try and design for that vision, but sometimes you run into just like, we just can't do it that way, so then you have to make that kind of on the fly decision. So, but ultimately, he does a great job at making my dreams come true whilst tapping.
And more.
Yeah.
And so, Aaron, your background, designer, what have you designed for?
Everything. I wear at Ratio many hats. I mean, from branding to architecting apps, we'll do, large engagements from, an idea to a product, and we'll do small stuff like, a company's been working on an app and they're struggling and, they hear that we're leaders in that space, so they come to us and we'll, kind of restructure the app and throw some design ideas their way, depending on the engagement, and, do what we can to make it the best that we can, make.
And as a professional designer, what is your take on the Facebook wall behind us? Do you see anything that really catches your eye?
There's a lot of eye-catching stuff. There's a tiger text thing. I can't remember what it says, but it's probably the most bold of anything. And then a barber pole, which I thought was kind of cool.
Just for everybody at home, we are sat in front of the Facebook wall. So we're in a building where people come to hack and code and have a lot of fun. And when they visit, they leave a little memento on the wall using the pens. And so it's kind of like a physical version of the Facebook wall. It's kind of a neat pun there. See what they've done there?
Nice.
It's good.
So speaking of the hack, we have been up for 24 plus hours, I think, roughly.
Yep.
We're pretty much all delirious, so I'm even surprised we have anything to talk right now.
Stuff got really funny this morning at like 4 and 5 o'clock.
Yeah. This morning, right? Not PM,
not PM, this morning.
I mean, what happened?
It's not going to be funny anymore. I don't even want to say
Water bottles were funny.
Yeah, we were delirious.
Oh,
it was awesome.
But people have been having a lot of fun building some pretty cool apps in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
On Windows 8, using the new platform, incorporating social aspects into it. So as you've been kind of going around and helping people out, what kind of things have been coming up? What questions have been coming up from attendees?
Sure. Well, it's a lot of the same stuff that we end up spending time at Ratio, which is list view. Everyone has a goal. They have items that they want to populate and scroll through and pan through in that beautiful sort of horizontal layout. And that component can be a little tricky for people that are used to, HTML and JavaScript traditionally.
Right. So you're talking specifically about the web developer, right? Is that coming from this world of kind of controlling everything, markup, their frameworks, etc.?
I mean, they've got their jQuery plugins that they're used to popping in. And what WinJS is it's surprisingly similar to the way that the really good jQuery plugins are built, where you initialize them and you set data options, but they're even more powerful than that. And that's kind of where I end up helping people, is understanding some of these limitations, or a lot of times just the API and the methods that are available for you.
Cool. So other than the list view, what's kind of your top tip or some of the other things you've been hearing as going around?
A lot of people just need to get their ideas into a Windows Metro layout. I mean, a lot of times I'm getting a lot of questions all around, how do I put a title here? How do I get an item to click and go to the next page? What is the next page? What is this layout? What is content host? And I'm just kind of working them through just the general layout, the general framework, and helping them understand component lifecycle and application lifecycle, and the JavaScript. The way that the JavaScript is written is a lot of it is self-invoking functions that have closures and exposing scope through returning various methods and properties. And I've had to do a lot of, well, I've got the pleasure of helping people understand how to make modules that way and stuff like that.
Cool. And then, Aaron, on the design side, I mean, the, you know, the Microsoft design language and the way that Windows 8 implements that is kind of, yeah, fairly new to people who have been on other platforms like iOS and the web. So
yeah.
What's kind of been a big aha for them?
I think that the bulk of the feedback that we've been giving is based around the architecture, you know, taking their idea and structuring it and thinking about, you know, this item, where does this item fit in a collection view or in a home view, and how important is it? How do you want to prioritize it? And you know, what can you utilize semantic zoom for, and how does it refloat into snap view, and is snap view even perhaps a more compelling experience than a fill view or a full view? So that's been, I think that's been a big challenge for everybody, just understanding a new language just in general. But it's been cool to have that kind of aha moment when they're looking at their iPhone or their computer or whatever it is, and they're going through this, you know, app, and they're like, well, what about this? What about this? And then when you get it all laid out, and they're like, okay, yeah, no, I like that. That makes sense. You know,
yeah.
We put the actions in the app bar. You know, it's easy navigation. There's only a few, you know, levels, and you get to surface everything, you know, so much more simple. So It's been cool.
Yeah, a lot of it is teaching, going from, you know, a macro view where you're looking at many, and the steps of going from that view down into one. And I mean, that's really the aha moments I see a lot of people having is they've got a hub, and a hub only represents a summary of a collection.
Right.
And you can drill into the collection and you see all of the items. And then you can click on a specific item and get a detail. And it's that detail to collection to home to semantic that's that wide view, summary view, collection view, detail view. I mean,
yeah.
Which is really awesome. I mean, that's sort of the way we like to navigate data in general anyway. So.
And as you've been learning about the platform and also how to design for Windows 8, what are some kind of killer resources that you'd recommend for folks who are watching, like if they're just getting started? Are there any things out there that you recommend?
I think that, I mean, MSDN is full of articles and components and just tons and tons and tons of resources. There's a lot of third-party stuff that's starting to surface, which is really interesting to get, you know, what some would say an unbiased opinion. I mean, we did the Windows 8 Design Handbook, so we're trying to promote, you know, the best practices that Microsoft, of course, endorses, but with, you know, that third-party, you know, perspective. I think in general, it's been really cool to be a part of, you know, exploring a new language and understanding it and, you know, buying in and getting to promote something that you actually believe is, you know, a good idea.
Right. And what about you, Adam? Are there any kind of killer samples that you'd go to?
Yeah, I mean, on the code side, I spent a lot of time reviewing and digging into the list view samples, into the semantic zoom samples, and into the various controls, and they're all really well documented. I mean, they come with commented code. When we were starting development and, you know, we were on the beta version of Windows 8, Stack Overflow had nothing. But Stack Overflow is now overflowing.
As it tends to do.
Wow, that was surprisingly awesome.
Well done.
with Windows 8 stuff. I mean, especially because of the Activate contest and all these other things that have really been promoting Windows 8 development. And so the community has grown exponentially. MSDN originally had no comments on any of the samples. There was no comments on the API documentation. And people have started you know, populating that with worthwhile content, and so it's been really nice to see.
Excellent. And so when you're not doing, you know, all-night hackathons and you're back in Seattle, you're doing these, you know, fantastic apps that we see in the Windows Store. What are some of the favorite, what are your favorite apps that you've been working on to date that you can talk about from a design and from a technical perspective?
We've made so much. I mean, there's a lot of exciting stuff. I mean, Comic Director is a really fun one.
What's that about?
The idea was to make something similar to a meme machine or like a meme generator, but it's comic-based. So you have panels, gives you the opportunity to make a sequential message instead of one that's flat and just text on an image. And that came with all sorts of, we used an SVG canvas for manipulation of images and SVG, and we've got touch controls that you can scale and rotate in one gesture. Comic Director has some really fun, really challenging code that we wrote. And that's our biggest object-oriented app is that one, where we really built components out smart.
Nice, and is that available in the Windows Store today? Can you go download
it? Comic Director. Mm-hmm.
Go download it now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Share them to your wall. I have one that's got it's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle right behind a turtle and Mario.
Whoa.
And then I've got Mario in the next panel, and Mario's like running away from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle because it's like you got the baby turtle and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and he's like, "Dad, that's the guy!" You know, like he jumped on my head, and so Mario's like, "Gotta get out of here."
This is what we mean, folks, by being a little bit delirious. So please bear with us.
Yeah, that probably wasn't very funny.
Aaron, what about you? What's been really interesting on the design side you've been working on?
There's been a lot of Parents was a lot of fun. Parents.com has a ton of content and. It was fun working with them. They were a great client to work with. The content for me, being a man with no babies, was a little less interesting. But it was.
You still found something there.
There was still something compelling about creating that experience. I think for me personally, probably my favorite app to work on was, the series of apps that we did for Condé Nast, because in Windows it's content before Chrome, and we created this. Very simple, very clean surface that incredible, world-renowned content. I mean, GQ, Vanity Fair, Self, etc.
Exactly. I'm just going to explain to everybody, Condé Nast is a magazine publisher, and they have all these amazing titles. So if you go into the store and search for GQ, Vanity Fair, then you'll go and
you can
check
search Condé Nast, and you'll have a big myriad of selection. So that was really cool because, I read GQ, so I get to now see this digital experience and be a part of creating that. So, awesome content. It's great.
And how was that done technically? Because I know the production process for those magazines is that many of the publishers use Adobe DPS, Digital Publishing Suite. Mm-hmm. So what happened there? Did you take that package and do something with it?
Yeah, they create... I wish we had Ben here because he built that component, they create these folio files, and we request that download from the app. It downloads fairly quickly because these are all preview apps or pieces of issues, preview issues. I forget what we called them, but there's like five articles and maybe some advertisements in a video, so it's a quick download, and it just parses it out, and you view it in this beautiful.
Well, the code was really cool too because we have a custom control, so we extended the flip view control, and we also gave this flip view the ability to semantic zoom with a custom semantic zoom extension. Mm. So it was a really good example of the extensibility of the controls that Windows 8 built, because our flip view goes sideways and then goes vertical, so you can go through the articles and then you can start to read the pages of the article. You can semantic zoom, go all the way to the end, zoom into the last article and begin reading there, and it's really seamless experience. I mean, you've got a one-page app experience where you've navigated through the whole entire magazine really simply. So,
yeah.
And you guys, be honest. I mean, you've done a host of apps on other platforms.
Oh yeah.
So, coming into the world of Windows 8, like, what's kind of your view? What was your perspective back then when you first took it on? Now that you're kind of veterans, seasoned veterans. How does it compare to those two different worlds?
I think that in the initial stages of understanding what it was, we, like everybody else, was like, boxes. lots of boxes. Yeah. Hmm. Because you see these standard components, and it's just, squares. But then you start to think, well, this isn't just a square. This is an item. This is a piece of content. Well, what is that? We did an app, Nature Space. It's all circles. Like, it boils down to the fact that...
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid.
It's almost naughty.
Circles. And it just boils down to the fact that it's not about this grid. It's not about these squares. It's about the content and how that content is designed to be viewed is really up to everyone to interpret. I mean, you're just listening listening to the teachings and understanding the language, you just apply the general mentality to what it is that you're building, which is what you do with all of the other platforms, mm-hmm. essentially, but you're not forced into these boxes. And that was one of the biggest things I think people struggle with. You know, creating good apps is not about just putting stuff in boxes.
Yeah. I think there was two real big reasons why you ended up with a lot of apps that kind of look and take on that box form. Is the number one, the start screen. You know, this kind of
it's very inspiring.
It's boxes, it's a grid, it's very rectangular and square. But there's also the Visual Studio templates as well, where you can file a new project and you've got a grid and it's boxy. So it's all too easy to kind of just populate content into that. But you know, my number one bit of feedback when I'm working with top publishers and app developers is kind of think outside of that box. Did you like that?
Literally.
That was great. But just kind of break it out and say, you know, make content really come to the fore. You don't have to think about putting it within that constraint. And just kind of use things like typography, the silhouette, the grid, mm-hmm. to maintain that consistency, because that's really all that the design language asks for, is make sure that the user has a consistent experience. So they
keep it simple, stupid. Really the most beautiful part about all these apps is you're tunnel visioned, and you don't have to be forced into it. It's because the content is there, and it's so easy to see. It's so easy to consume because there's not borders and shadows and insets and all these different extraneous things that don't need to be there are all just wiped out. Mm-hmm. Now you have title and image, sometimes just an image. If I want the title, it's probably in the app bar. Yep. You know, like tuck away these things, and it's really nice.
Yeah, I feel like it's like, you read the newspaper. People have been reading the newspaper for hundreds of years, and you look at this newspaper and you don't really think about how it's laid out, but it's just this beautifully laid out typography, imagery. There's so much content, but you're not looking at a newspaper in a frame on a wall with wallpaper and in this big experience. It's just, here's what I want. It's right there, and it looks great. So that's been... that's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
What about in the short, medium term, in the future? Where are you guys going to be pushing the platform on the design and on the technical side? As you see, you know, new opportunities to bring content in there and also maybe take advantage of some of the extensibility in the platform.
I think that for me, from a design perspective, I am waiting for that client that has a SnapView optimized. Pieces of content, because the opportunity to multitask with two different apps is an awesome opportunity. Some pieces of content don't really yield themselves to be optimized in SnapView, but some do. I mean, a calculator, for instance. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one yet.
They're there. After this interview, we're going to go and we're going to check them out.
I want to see these because I think that's such an awesome thing. But when you snap that app and it's got everything reflowed and just that experience is awesome.
Yep, definitely.
On the technical side, it gets difficult when we inherit databases that aren't meant for the Windows Metro sort of environment. And so those clients that we have where they've spent, the past 5-10 years getting all their data normalized into this structure, and then it's like Windows 8 can consume it, in various ways.
You're talking mainly about the web, right? Like, and how they're setting up the web APIs.
Yeah, or just for native apps on iOS and Android, just the way that you get your data prepared for those devices. Inheriting some of those can be a struggle.
What's a bit of advice or a strategy that you would put in place if you have one of those backends and architectures? Is there some things you can do to kind of get yourself ready?
Semantic Zoom provides so much worth, especially when you have a lot of content. Mm-hmm. And that is a missed opportunity for some people because there's no way to group their data. You have to have Semantic Zoom groups. I mean, that's the whole point, is you go from looking at 100 items to their groups in a 6 set. And a lot of data just isn't ready for that scenario. And so we end up either creating a service that does it on the server, or we do it on the client side. And, we don't like to do things on the client side that we don't have to, but oftentimes we end up creating groups off of data on the client.
Okay. Cool. Any final thoughts, guys? Like, would you recommend this kind of thing to folks who are interested in learning about Windows 8?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no better way to learn. I mean, you can read MSDN all day long, but when you sit next to James and Kathy and, you know, a team of people that know and are familiar, then we just answer your questions. Yep. I mean, it's great. It's perfect for learning anything.
Yep, getting your hands on it, getting your data in there, seeing results.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really where it comes down to providing the worth back to me. Is when I get to stick my data in there and it just lays out this beautiful list that is responsive and, you know, all these different things. It gets me really excited.
Cool. Well, guys, thanks so much for spending the time today and mm-hmm. also last night.
Yeah.
I know it's been a long, hard slog, but I think it's been a lot of fun. So Adam and Aaron from Ratio Interactive, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.